무네요 니르관타 어피 우룩크라메 쿠르반티 어하이 특김 박딤 이탐 부다 구나 허리히 수두바샤 아트마라마스차 무네요 니르관타 아퓨루크라메 쿠르반차 쿠르반차 화이트킴 박딤 이탐 부타고노 하리히 아트마라마스차 무네요 니르관타 아퓨루크라메 쿠르반차 화이트킴 박딤 이탐 부다 구노 하리히 아트마라마스차 무네요 니르관타 아퓨루크라메 쿠르반차 화이트킴 박딤 이탐 부다 구노 하리히 아트마라마스차 무네요 니르관타 아퓨루크라메 쿠르반차 하이트킴 박딤 이탐 부다 구노 하리히 아트마라마스차 무네요 니르관타 아퓨루크라메 쿠르반차 하이트킴 박딤 이탐 부다 구노 하리히 Ladies 수두바차 아트마라마스차 무네요 니르관타 아퓨루크라메 쿠르반차 하이트킴 박딤 이탐 부다 구노 하리히 수타 우바차 수타 고스와미 said 아트마라마하 those who take pleasure in atma generally spirit self cha also munayaha sages nirgrantaha freed from all bondage api in spite of urukrame unto the great adventurer kurvanti do Ahai tukim, unalloyed. Bhaktim, devotional service. Ittam bhuta, such wonderful. Gunaha, qualities. Harihi, of the Lord. All different varieties of atmaramas, those who take pleasure in atma, or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization. Though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. We're continuing with the purport. There's discussion of hetu, meaning causal.
We went beyond there.
We went beyond there.
Actually, we went two-thirds of the way.
Two-thirds way.
Yeah.
Did you discuss ittam bhuta, meaning complete bliss?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you've gone more than two-thirds. Great sages such as the four bachelor devotees. You probably didn't do that. Okay. Great sages such as the four bachelor devotees, Sanak, Sanatana, Sananda, and Sanat Kumar, were attracted by the fragrance of flowers and tulsi leaves, anointed with the pulp of sandalwood, offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, Shukadeva Goswami was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Shukadeva Goswami was already situated in the liberated stage, yet he was attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. This proves that the quality of his pastimes has nothing to do with material affinity. Similarly, the young cowherd damsels were attracted by the bodily features of the Lord, and Rukmini was attracted by hearing about the glories of the Lord. Lord Krishna attracts even the mind of the goddess of fortune. He attracts, in special cases, the minds of all young girls. He attracts the minds of the elderly ladies by parental affection. He attracts the minds of the males in the humors of servitude and friendship. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupakoda Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sehitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Stam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vanshako Pitaru Bhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Dama Hare Dama Rama Rama Hare Hare Atma Ramas Chamunayo Nirgranta Purukrame Kurvantyo Haitukim Bhaktim Ittam Bhuta Guna Harihi. Krishna is all attractive, and his attraction is not material. He's attractive by his qualities, he's attractive by his form, he's attractive by his names, by his pastimes. And these attract even the liberated souls. Shukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul. He's telling his history. Similarly, the Kumaras are liberated souls. But they were attracted by Krishna. The Sanakadi Rishi, the four Kumars, and Shukadeva Goswami had been attracted by the impersonal feature of the Absolute. But they became more attracted by the transcendental features of the Lord. That means that the Lord's features can't be material, because material features wouldn't have attracted these atmaramas, self-satisfied. We're after material enjoyment because we're not self-satisfied. A person who's satisfied doesn't go hunting for enjoyment. Just like a man who's satisfied at home, he doesn't go hunting for women outside because he's satisfied at home. So the person like the Kumaras and Sukadeva Goswami, we're satisfied on the spiritual platform. They had attained self-realization. Aham Brahmasmi, I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. I'm one with the Absolute. On that spiritual platform, they were satisfied. Therefore, they were no longer interested in material topics, material attractions. The narrator tells how Sukadeva Goswami was walking, and he passed by a place where ladies were bathing naked. And the ladies didn't even bother to put on their clothing, because they could see by his face that he was like a child. He wasn't interested in any material enjoyment there. Just like a little child, we see the children go into the bathrooms with their mothers, boys. What do they know, boy or girl? There are no such distinctions for them. So for a person like Sukadeva Goswami also, there's no such distinction, because he's seeing it completely from the spiritual platform. So there's nothing attractive on the material platform for such persons. Material enjoyment is not interesting. They know it's not enjoyable. Illusion is not enjoyable. And yet, they're attracted by Krishna. That means Krishna is not material. Sukadeva Goswami was attracted by hearing about his pastimes. That means that hearing was transcendental hearing. Rukmini also attracted by hearing. Kumaras by smelling the tulsi and flowers offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. That means these, the aroma of the Lord's lotus feet is not material. Otherwise the Kumaras wouldn't have been attracted. It's not like if they'd gone past the Pizza Hut or something, they would have said, wow, what's that? They're not attracted by mundane aromas. But they were attracted by the aroma of the tulsi offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. So the Lord has qualities. The Mayavadi theory is that qualities are all material. As soon as we're talking about qualities, names, forms, these are all material, because Brahma is Advaita, undivided. There's no duality. There's only oneness. So as soon as there's variety, they think it must be material. They don't have information that there's spiritual variety. That information is being given here in Srimad Bhagavatam, that the spiritual varieties of Krishna are so attractive that even the liberated souls are attracted to him. And in different ways, someone to his pastimes, someone to his form, someone to his pastimes. Everyone becomes attracted. Therefore, he's called Krishna, all attractive. The word Hari conveys various meanings, but the chief import of the word is that he, the Lord, vanquishes everything inauspicious and takes away the mind of the devotee by awarding pure transcendental love. By remembering the Lord in acute distress, one can be free from all varieties of miseries and anxieties. Gradually, the Lord vanquishes all obstacles on the path of devotional service of a pure devotee. And the result of 9 devotional activities, such as hearing and chanting, becomes manifested. The Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu analyzed this verse by analyzing word by word. This is the system of probing into Srimad Bhagavatam, word by word. What is the meaning of this word? What is the meaning of that word? And the words can have more than one meaning. Atmarama means this, it means that. In the beginning of the purport, so many different meanings have been derived. And when you put those meanings together in different combinations, you get so many different explanations for the verse. These are not mental concoctions, but they're authentic meanings. That the devotees find in the verse itself. It's direct meaning. These are dictionary definitions of the word. They're not fanciful concoctions. The words have so many meanings. Just like block in English. Block can be a chunk of wood. A block can be the distance from one corner of the street to the next corner. A block can be an obstacle. A block can be so many different things. A block can be something that, a move, that a protective move in football. You block the opposing party. Now, there's so many different kinds of blocks. Blocks are those little things that kids play with also. Blocks. Before there was Lego, they used to play with blocks. So there are so many different meanings for different words. And by taking these different meanings for Atmarama, Munio, Nirgranta, Itambhuta, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this verse. Well, Hari means one who takes away. One who takes away. So 2 points are made. He takes away miseries. We're trying to get free from miseries, but Krishna takes them away. When one is a sincere devotee, fully engaged in his service, and especially when the devotee is in acute distress and remembering the Lord, then Krishna takes away all miseries. Hari. And another meaning is everything inauspicious. Harishe taddanam shanai. If money is a problem because it's holding us in material attachment, he may take away our money. He may take away everything. That's his kindness. And finally, he can take you. Manohara. Manohara means one who takes away the mind. Now our mind is enchanted by material things. But when one is fortunate, then the mind is carried away by Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita it said, what is that? That even Ranti Prasabham Manohara, that the mind is so strong that it can carry away the intelligence even of a person who's trying to control it. Right? That even one of the senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away the intelligence even of a person who's trying to control the mind. So sometimes we get carried away by material. But if the mind becomes fixed on Krishna, then Krishna carries away the mind. Mind's going to get carried away one way or another. It's attracted. The mind will be attracted here or there. Materialists are attracted by material illusions, by the hope of enjoyment, by the appearance of enjoyment. And the self-realized souls are immune or aloof from that attraction. Now, this is Maya. They know. But still they can be attracted by Krishna. He steals away the mind. Manohar. Even Cupid, who takes away, generally people, that's what carries away the mind. People's minds are carried away by Cupid. Man meets a woman and becomes enchanted. His mind is, can't get you off my mind, my mind. Mind is carried away. But Cupid himself becomes carried away by Krishna, his mind. Madana Manohar. Cupid's mind gets enchanted by Krishna. So as Krishna vanquishes obstacles, takes away obstacles, one makes progress in nine kinds of devotional service: hearing, chanting, remembering, and so on. By his personal features and transcendental attributes, the Lord attracts all psychological activities of a pure devotee. Such is the attractive power of Lord Krishna. The attraction is so powerful that a pure devotee never hankers for any one of the four principles of religion: dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Religious rituals for material profit, to satisfy the senses, and finally liberation. Devotees loses interest in these. Because of Krishna's powerful attraction. These are the attractive features of the transcendental attributes of the Lord. Someone becomes attracted to Krishna, he loses attraction for these material things. And adding to this the words api and cha, one can increase the imports unlimitedly. According to Sanskrit grammar, there are seven synonyms for the word api. So by interpreting each and every word of this shloka, one can see unlimited numbers of transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna that attract the mind of a pure devotee. Cha, api, these words appear often and they have different meanings. And sometimes cha, well, what is, must be called a point. No, they're not described here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They're described. Api, cha. These are like function words. Although, also, additionally, and so on. So these words appear in with different meanings to multiply the meanings of the other words. Multiply the meanings of the other words. And so we get so many transcendental qualities of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam has unlimited meanings. This verse was described to Sanatana Goswami and later again to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Or was it the other way around? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya first, then Sanatana Goswami. Yes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, what, 64 different meanings? Then when he described it again to Sanatana Goswami, he said, now by your association, just thought of another meaning. Then he said, actually, there's unlimited meaning, because Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. Each word of Bhagavatam is identical with Krishna. And Krishna is unlimited. So each word has unlimited meaning. This is Bhagavatam, not a mundane book. And the devotees relish. The devotees get together, Tushanti cha, Ramanti cha. They discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, different meanings, different ways of seeing the verse. Prabhupada said the way that scientists discuss their discoveries in scientific conferences, they get all excited. Some scientist has seen a new way of looking at something. And ooh, they get all excited about that, discuss it from different angles of vision, share their work, share their progress, discuss strategies for making further progress. So the devotees are busy discussing Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, from Srimad Bhagavatam. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. The devotees are relishing the discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, are there some questions? Yes, why is Shankaracharya, as Lord Shiva's incarnation, being a Vaishnava, preaching impersonalism? Vishnu asked him to do it. Yeah, that's described in the Puranas. But Lord Vishnu said, we need some, Kali Yuga needs a push. Someone has to teach this Mayavad philosophy in Kali Yuga. So you do it. He was given that assignment. So for the service of the Lord, the devotee will even preach Mayavad philosophy.
I guess then the question is, why did Vishnu want Shiva to do that?
Because Kali Yuga has to happen. And Kali Yuga means degradation. Actually, this impersonal philosophy means spreading degradation. It progresses in this way. Everything is one. And since everything is one, it really doesn't matter what you do. Or since everything is just an illusion, might as well enjoy the illusion. There's nothing to be hung up about. Nothing is real. So enjoy. Or from another angle of vision, the spiritual life becomes something impractical. Because the Mayavad philosophy, Krishna says, you can stay there, that klesho dikadaraste sham avyakta sakta changes. Avyakta hi gatir dukkam hetumabhi. That to make progress in that unmanifest path is very difficult. So when that's spiritual life, then you can't really do it, so then what are you going to do? You enjoy sense gratification. Go down to the default mode. Since spiritual life is impractical, come back down to material life. That pushes Kali Yuga. And Kali Yuga has to be pushed.
In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami offered the explanation that this preaching of Shankaracharya protected the confidentiality of devotional service. Since there are so unlimited meanings, how does the editor decide what the meaning is?
Editor doesn't necessarily have to decide. Just leave it as it is and let the reader figure out the meaning.
Okay, but we readers, then how do we understand of the unlimited meanings what the meaning is?
By association of devotees. It's not that there's only one possible meaning. Sometimes devotees get flipped out, as they say, when they read a verse and it's two different ways. You know, in this book it's this way, and in that book it's that way. Which is the right one? Either one. Prabhupada, when he translated verses, very often translated them differently on different occasions. Sometimes the editors just standardized them, but Prabhupada would differently translate. Just like this, Rupa Raghunath Pade, that end of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada translated it differently practically every time. I asked Prabhupada if I could standardize it, and he said yes. So I took a few of Prabhupada's translations and put them together, and that's the tag that appears on every chapter. But otherwise, Prabhupada, each time he translated it differently. One time he translated it, the author ends the chapter in the usual way. So there are different ways to read the same verse. Even Atma in Bhagavad Gita or Ishra can mean the living entity also. That's mentioned in the 15th chapter, how the Ishra is traveling from body to body because he's the controller of his body. But Ishvara can also mean the Supreme Lord.
Normal.
Yeah. Or Atma in the second chapter. Sometimes it can be read as, it can be read either way, the individual Atma or the Paramatma. And if you read it as Atma individual, it means one thing. If you read it as Paramatma, it means another thing. They're different. One has to focus one's mind on the Atma. What does that mean? It can mean on the individual self, it can mean on the super self. That has to be realized by discussion with devotees.
Is it possible to understand, or, you know, like to read the mind of Vyasadeva and discern what he intended?
To read the mind of Vyasadeva?
It sounds a little ridiculous. I didn't mean to say something belittling. How could we dare to assume that we could understand the mind of Vyasadeva? That's what I meant to ask.
The acharyas may explain the mind of Vyasadeva. They open it up. They explain that this means this. There, of these possible meanings, take this meaning. Or they'll say, yes, this. By following the representatives of Vyasadeva, we can understand something of the mind of Vyasadeva.
But there's so many acharyas, and sometimes they have conflicting interpretations.
Yeah, therefore one has to be broad-minded. Vyasadeva is writing. Even Vyasadeva may not know. Aham veti, shuko veti, vyas veti. Aham vedmi, shuko veti, vyas veti na veti va. I know the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami knows. Vyasadeva may or may not know. just like Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's speaking to Sanatana Goswami. He said, I don't know what I'm speaking. Somehow I've become a madman and I'm speaking all of these things. And Krishna is inspiring me to speak in different ways, but I don't know what I'm saying. Vyas Veti Navetiva, even Vyasdev may not know. He may or may not know. But he's the conduit through which Srimad Bhagavatam is coming. Chaitanya, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm speaking like a madman.
One final question on this point, if I'm not belaboring. I thought one definition was that the actual meaning of a book is the meaning that was intended by the author.
Yes. The meaning is understood, but the depth of it, you know, we can know that the Atlantic Ocean is to the west and the Mediterranean Sea is to the east. So we know. But the depth of it, the full features of it, that you can spend 1,000 years. When Krishna says, Mam ekam sharanam braja, we know he doesn't mean surrender to Shiva, surrender to Durga. It means surrender to him, Krishna. What is that surrender? That can be explained for 100 years. Something else? Yes?
I would like to ask about if this deepening into Bhagavatam and the worlds and the richness of the worlds and all the differences, one can get so many explanations in that. Is it different from the self-realized soul that also have this richness within that?
Also have
this richness within, deepening. So they go into the. Is it? Can one compare that to Bhagavatam?
You start saying something and then you go soft.
You can't hear what I say.
No.
Okay, I try. Is it a difference in between the self-realized souls and the Bhagavatam, the richness within the, when they feel the separation with Krishna? They get.
A difference between the self-realized souls and who?
Bhagavatam. The meanings of the purpose in Bhagavatam.
Is there a difference between the self... I don't understand what two things you're comparing. The self-realized souls on one side...
He has to go deep into himself to looking for Krishna.
Yeah.
And feeling this sense of separation. Feeling the sense of separation,
yeah.
Because he's in a physical form,
yeah.
But still he's alive and he's going into himself deep. Is it the same? Like, can one see the? Is there an association when one is reading Bhagavatam and then one is deepening into himself? Understand?
One is reading Bhagavatam, the other is deepening himself.
Yeah, is there like a kind of?
Well, a person who's going deep into his relationship with Krishna is also realizing the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
So Prabhupada told Think Jananivas and Pankajangre, or maybe he just said it in Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, that by worshipping the deity one is studying all the Vedas. By worshipping the deity. So either you read the books or you worship the deity, or you do both. By worshiping the deity, you'll appreciate the books.
Okay. It's a kind of not a play, but a reflection one gets.
Very
a kind of reflections one gets by associating with Bhagavatam and deepening into oneself.
Yeah, I mean, the real thing is if we want to deepen our appreciation of Bhagavatam, then Pibhatapa, we should read Bhagavatam. the devotees who want to deepen their realization within themselves read Bhagavatam. It's not that they just meditate and go deep within themselves. Generally, they read Srimad Bhagavatam with great appreciation. Goswami set the example. It's not that they just meditated and went deep within themselves, but they read Bhagavatam and probed. Okay, shall we stop here? Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Glorious to Srila Prabhupada.